Well, that was some good rejoicing there tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful dance worship there. And that's really what Sukkot is all about, is really coming to His presence and worshiping Him. You know, the Feast of Sukkot completes the cycle of all the fall feasts. And in contrast to the serious and introspective mood of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot is a time of rejoicing. And the fact that Sukkot is the final feast on the Jewish calendar is not without reason. It's intended to be the most joyful and festive of all the feasts of the Lord. And there's a rabbi that was saying that he was not seeing Jerusalem during the Feast of Sukkot, did not know what rejoicing is. And we know what rejoicing is because many of us have been in Israel during the Feast of Sukkot. And it's a time of great rejoicing and celebration as we see hundreds of thousands of Jewish people at the wall waving the lulavs and the etrogs and dancing and praising God and just a wonderful presence of God, you know, in the land of Israel. And so it's just a wonderful experience to be celebrating this feast. And Sukkot corresponds to the time of the gathering of the fruit harvest. And so this is the time of the season where the gathering of the figs and the dates, the pomegranates and the grapes and the olives and all the fruit of the land. And as an agricultural feast, Sukkot marks the end of the harvest time and it's called the Feast of Ingathering. And Sukkot is the original Thanksgiving, minus the turkey and the stuffing and the pumpkin pie, which many will be celebrating this coming Monday. But Sukkot is actually a Thanksgiving feast as well. And it's celebrated not just for one day, but for 8 days. So God likes to party. The Lord loves to celebrate. There's a time to be serious and there's a time to be joyful. And also on the 15th day, it says in Leviticus 23, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. You know, Galatians 6, verse 7 tells us, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And during the past 40 days, we've been sowing a lot of repentance, confessing our sins, asking forgiveness, seeking reconciliation with others. You know, but after the somber and the introspective time of Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, we've now entered into the season of joy. And this is really a time of joy and rejoicing. And it's God's appointed time to harvest our joy, to reap the blessings of repentance. Yochanan said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. If you've truly repented and confessed your sins over these past 40 days, then you can experience God's blessing and His joy in your life. And that's what God delights, to inhabit the praises of His people. Sukkot is the only feast that Adonai commands us to rejoice. It's a time to put on a happy face, even if you don't feel like it. I know for some of you it's going to take a lot of faith to be happy and joyful, especially for 7-8 days. But God commands you to be happy. Even if you don't feel like it, that's okay. God commands you to be happy and joyful. You've heard about fake news, fake history. Well, this is not fake joy. This is real joy that God wants us to experience. Amen. Real joy. You know, in Deuteronomy 16, it says, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God. You shall surely rejoice. And then in Leviticus 23, it says, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So the Lord commands us to rejoice. So do you believe it's possible to rejoice and to be happy for 7 days? All right, that's good. I'm going to keep you to it. It says in Psalms 118, shouts of joy and victory are in the tents of the righteous. Adonai's right hand is mighty. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and praise Adonai. This is the gate of Adonai. The righteous will enter and give thanks. Amen. You know, so Sukkot is a joyful remembrance of the goodness of God in providing for our ancestors as they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years before entering the promised land. I'm sure by the time they came out of the wilderness, they were really joyful, you know, to come into God's, you know, into God, into the promised land and enjoy all the beauty of the land and the bounty and the fruit of the land. It was certainly a time of great rejoicing. But, you know, Sukkot is the seventh feast observed in the seventh month for 7 days, a plurality of sevens. The number seven speaks of completion, of perfection. It says Sukkot is a feast that represents the completion of our redemption. It represents the complete and perfect work of God's redemptive plan that began in the spring during the spring feasts when we celebrate Passover, which was called the season of our freedom. But no, Sukkot is called the season of our joy, because it represents the awesome privilege that God has provided in allowing us to enter the Holy of Holies into His presence. Because in His presence there is fullness of joy. As Messianic believers, our true joy comes when we understand how complete we are in the Messiah. In Colossians 2 it says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him we have been made complete." God has completed His work in us. We're still a work in progress. But God has completed His redemption in our lives. And Ephesians 1 describes the many blessings of how we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. We were predestined to be adopted sons by Yeshua according to the good pleasure of His will. In Him we have redemption through His atoning blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Him we have obtained an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. And through His divine power, He has given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have been given exceedingly great and magnificent promises, that through these we may become partakers of His divine nature. And our names are forever recorded in the book of life. And to know that our names are recorded in the book of life forever, that's something to be happy about. That's something to be joyful about. You know, we're living in a world today where we're witnessing so many tragedies, so many natural disasters, so much chaos, so much violence and hatred. The birth pangs of the Messiah are becoming more intense by the day. As looking around the world, around us, and all that happened down in Las Vegas just this past week, it's very easy to become discouraged and depressed. But during these 8 days of Sukkot, the Lord is providing a shelter for us, an island in time, that we can go under the sukkah of His presence and find shelter and calm in the midst of all the storms of life. The Lord wants us to come under the sukkah of His presence and just really learn to focus on Him and to fix our hearts upon Him. There's a beautiful scripture in 1 Peter 1, that verses 4 through 5, that I would like to just read. It says, "We have obtained an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yeshua. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." That's a great word to meditate upon. And so what is there in this life that we can compare with what awaits us, you know, as we prepare ourselves to enter into the kingdom of God? And that's enough for us to rejoice. It said, "Do not sorrow. The joy of the Lord is our strength." And so Sukkot is God's appointed time to put the introspection and the self-examination and the repentance and the sorrow behind us and rejoice in our salvation and our relationship with Him. This is the beginning of a new season. And I said, behold, I will do a new thing and it will spring forth. Advent wants to do something new and fresh in each one of our lives, in our families, and in our community here in Beth Shekinah. And I'm really excited about what the Lord has planned for us in the coming year. God has a great plan for us. You know, the prophets tell us that a day will come when the exiles of Israel will return to Zion, as we sang a song earlier. Her streets will be filled with the sounds of joyful melodies. Sorrow will disappear. It says, the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. You know, when we think of the Feast of Sukkot, it's more than just the season of our joy. It's known by many other different names. It's called the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of All Nations, the Wedding Feast, the Feast of Dedication, because it was on this particular feast that Solomon dedicated the first temple, on the Feast of Sukkot. It's called the Festival of Lights because of a light ceremony that took place during Sukkot. And Sukkot is rich in many symbols and ceremonies. And on next Wednesday evening, the seventh day, we'll celebrate Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of the great feast. And Sukkot is an eight-day feast. And with a common solemn assembly on the eighth day, there will be meeting on the seventh day, next Wednesday evening. And so we're going to be meeting downstairs, and we're going to be having a time of celebration, watching this movie, The Star of Messiah, you know, which foretold the birth of the Messiah, a video. And we're going to be having some discussion because many of us believe that, you know, it was during the Feast of Sukkot that Messiah was born. And so we're going to focus on that this coming Wednesday. And then next Friday evening, we're going to be gathering together for an Erev Shabbat Sukkot celebration. And it's the eve of Simchat Torah, which is really the last day of the Feast of Sukkot, where we roll the scroll back, you know, to Bereshit, to Genesis. We begin reading the Torah again. So we'll be doing that on Saturday morning. We'll be celebrating Simchat Torah. So Friday evening, Wednesday, and then Friday evening, we're going to be having this Erev Shabbat supper. It's going to be a wonderful time together. And then we're going to be celebrating Simchat Torah on Saturday morning. Now, during this feast, the people were commanded to live in booths, called the sukkahs, for 7 days. And the word sukkah means woven. And so their temporary shelters are woven together with willow branches and palm branches and myrtle and leafy branches. And during the harvest time, the land will be covered. And it is covered today. I mean, if you've been in Israel, you see sukkahs everywhere. So we don't think about just what happened back in ancient Israel because we're living in modern-day Israel today. You know, Israel today is still observing all these feasts, and they celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, and they build all these sukkahs all over the land, and many of them sleep in them, they eat in them, they put tables in them, they just have a great time together as families. And I wish we could do that here in Calgary, but the weather's just not cooperating. But I thought there's really a message in the sukkah, and I wanted to share that with you this evening as we, you know, close. But let me just begin with just a little bit of humor. You may have heard this story before, but it's worth sharing it again because it's appropriate for the season. And it's called The House on the Roof. And this Mr. Levy, he built a sukkah on the roof of his apartment, building several days before the eight-day holiday of Sukkot began. And just before the holiday was about to begin, the landlord noticed this unsightly structure and demanded to be removed immediately, claiming it was a violation of the terms of the building lease. And Levy refused. He telling the landlord, well, this is a religious holiday, and that he had a right to build a sukkah in obedience to the Torah. And so the landlord disagreed, and so he decided to take him to court. And so in court, the landlord argued that sukkah was unsightly, against the terms of the lease, and was a fire hazard. But Levy argued, well, this is a religious holiday, and I have my religious rights, and they're being ignored. And the judge, who happened to be Jewish, listened patiently, and he offered his verdict. I agree with the landlord in this case, and I therefore rule that you have 8 days from today to take down your hut. Very good. So that was one wise judge. But you know, when the children of Israel, when they came into the promised land, they were commanded to build booths to remind them of their wilderness wanderings and how Adonai provided for them in the most harshest of elements, a desert. If God could provide food and water for 40 years without fail in a desert, a barren wilderness, then why can't God provide for us? But this commandment for future generations to dwell in Sukkah for 7 days was intended to remind us of the temporary and transient nature of life. We tend to think of our possessions, our money, our homes, our families, our jobs as our security in life. However, during Sukkot, when we expose ourselves to the elements, which we had a little bit of experience with that on Monday, we had this storm that came through. But it's intended to help us to put our life in perspective. Because a sukkah, which is a temporary shelter, gives us pause and opportunity to realize that true fulfillment and happiness does not come from the things that we possess, but from the one who is above all things. Yeshua said, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the material goods that he possesses." Our life does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. So Yeshua went on and he taught a parable, warning us to not fix our hope on the uncertainty of riches. And he said the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my grain and my goods?" And he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods, many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And who will own what you have prepared?" He says, "So is a man who stores up treasures for himself is not rich towards Adonai." So this is an important message of Sukkot. We are in the season of our joy. We have much to be thankful for. But we remember that our happiness does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. Because our possessions are fleeting. And our lives are even more transient than our possessions. It tells us, what is our life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. The book of Jacob. In 1 Peter 1, it says, our flesh is like grass and all of its glory like a wild flower. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of our Lord endures forever. We're now in the fall season. It's a beautiful time of the year. The colors are magnificent. But all the leaves are beginning to fall from the trees. And before we know it, most of the trees will be barren. And winter will be here. It happens all so quickly. The seasons of the year are fleeting. They are short-lived. And as much as we loved and enjoyed the hot, long hot summer this year, get prepared for winter, because it's coming. We had a short blast of winter on Monday as a wake-up call to remind us of what is coming. But you know, just as nature goes through seasons, each one of us go through seasons in our lives as well. Some of us are in the spring season of their lives, the young ones. Others are in the summer, the prime of life. Others are in the fall season, the golden years. And sadly, the winter is the final season which in our lives which ultimately ends in death. That's why we need to make the most of our times in this life, because the days are evil, it tells us in Ephesians 5. During all of God's appointed times, we're encouraged to read a Megillah, special book, one of the books of the Bible. So everyone, through all the feasts, we all read a special book. On Passover, we read the Song of Songs. On Shavuot, what do we read? What's that? The book of Ruth. On Yom Kippur, which book do we read? The book of Jonah. Well, on Sukkot, do you know which book we read? The book of Ecclesiastes. I encourage you to read this book during this season, because it really expresses and describes the brevity of life. And this was Solomon's experience. It begins with the word vanity. Vanities, all is vanity. It's really an enlightening book to read. It describes how there is no true meaning, purpose of joy, or fulfillment in life without knowing God and without obeying His commandments. Psalm describes his futile attempt in trying to be happy in this life. And it was located in all the wrong places. Let me read a little bit from Ecclesiastes. He said, "What profit has a man from all of his labors in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." And in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 1 it says, "I said within myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to see what is good. Yet behold, this too was meaningless. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I thought deeply about how to cheer my flesh with wine, letting my heart guide me with wisdom, and how to grasp folly, so that I could see what was worthwhile for the sons of men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I increased my possessions. I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. I made royal gardens and parks for myself, and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I constructed for myself pools of water to irrigate a forest of flourishing trees, purchased male and female servants, and had other servants who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than all my predecessors. I amassed silver and gold for myself, as well as all the treasures of kings and the provinces. I acquired male and female singers for myself, as well as the luxuries of humankind, vaults and vaults of them. So I became far wealthier than all before me in Jerusalem, yet my wisdom stayed with me." And he also gathered almost 1,000 wives around him as well. So he had everything in life that you can imagine. And he was the wisest man who ever lived. And he experienced everything that anyone can experience. But he says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulse of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." And so after all his years of living everything in life, his conclusion to life, as we know, and we've all read this conclusion, as he concludes his testimony in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, "There's one thing to remember: fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." And so no matter how well-established, rooted, wealthy, and secure we may be in this life, in the end, we realize that our time on the earth is short-lived. Our true dwelling place is the eternal life that Adonai has prepared for all who love Him. In John 14, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." So every year during Sukkot, we are to be reminded of this truth, lest we become too entangled in the things of this life. Because our life is only a stepping stone to a great eternal adventure the Lord has prepared for us. Heaven is our final frontier. It's our final destination. Our citizenship is not of this earth, that we have a heavenly citizenship. You know, we have only temporary working visas on this earth. We've been given a heavenly passport, our guarantee that we have a place in heaven reserved for us. So the question is, do you have your heavenly passport? Do you have a place reserved in heaven for you? God wants you to have the assurance that you can have that assurance. So when we come to the end of our life on this earth, all that is important is to hear the words of our master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master." Did you know that there are 6 words that will determine our legacy and eternal destiny in this life? "Well done, good and faithful servant." To hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." I know that's my desire, And I hope and pray that's each one of our desire as well. We will hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so our goal in this life should be what Paul, great apostle, he had a goal in life. And this is what he said at the end of his life as he was coming to the end. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to those who love his appearing. Amen. And so are you fighting the good fight? Are you keeping the faith? You have to finish the race. Don't come up short. Because you have a crown of righteousness waiting for you that Adonai will crown you with. Let me just end with one scripture from Revelation 21. A scripture that is very meaningfully read during this time. So I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and will be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and in death shall no more be no more. Nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can come together this evening, that we can rejoice, and as we begin this season of our joy, that we would truly enter into the joy of the Lord, that we would experience your blessing, your presence, that you would give us a joyful attitude. Lord, in everything give thanks, for this is your will for us in the Messiah. Lord God, that regardless of the circumstances that we're going through, Father, Lord, we just set them aside and we just want to rejoice in your presence during these next 8 days. And that we can rejoice as you commanded us to rejoice. That we can be joyful. Lord God, we pray, God, that you would help us to realize the brevity of life. That all of life is vanity without you. And God, help us to realize, Lord, the Sukkah reminds us of the transient nature of this life. And that we're just passing through, Father. And you have an eternal purpose planned for each and every one of us. You have an eternal inheritance waiting for us. But Lord, that we need to be faithful. We need to persevere. We need to finish the race so we can receive this crown of glory that you prepared for all those who love your appearing. We long forward to see your appearing. We pray, God, that you will continue to fill us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And Lord, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Lord, thank you, God, for this wonderful Feast of Sukkot. Lord, we pray that as we continue to celebrate this feast into this weekend and into next week, Lord, may we truly experience your joy and you'll give us a new revelation of joy in our life. That we begin to be more thankful, have more of a thankful attitude and be grateful with what you have blessed us with. As we thank you, Lord God, that you said that we need to be content in whatever circumstances we are in. And so we just rejoice in your presence. In Yeshua's name, amen, Father. Amen. We just want to, we're going to have another dance at the end here, but let me just also just share with you, that during this Feast of Sukkot, it's a time for us to take a festive offering. I mentioned this on Shabbat. It tells us in Deuteronomy 16, you have to keep the Feast of Sukkot for 7 days after gathering in the produce from your threshing floor and the winepress. You will rejoice in your feast. You, your son, your daughter, your slave and maid, Levite and outsider, orphan and widow within your gates. 7 days you'll feast to Adonai your God in a place he chooses, because Adonai your God will bless you and all of your produce and all the work of your hand. You will be completely filled with joy. 3 times a year all of your males shall appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses, the Feast of Matzah, the Feast of Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. And no one shall appear before Adonai empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand according to the blessing Adonai, your God, has given you. And so we would just want to just pray that God would we wanted to, on Saturday I gave out some envelopes here from the Jewish National Fund. You know, that they were encouraging us to be involved in helping to build a shelter for victims of domestic violence in Israel. And so we really wanted part of this offering to go towards this project in Israel. you know, to be able to help many battered women, you know, who are being abused, and many single mothers who are trying to bring up children and unwed mothers. And so we really want to be able to bless them and pray for them and to be a part in helping to support them. And so we would ask you that you give something this evening during the special feast of Sukkot. He says, no one shall appear before Adonai empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand according to the blessing Adonai, your God, has given you. And as you know, we don't take offering here. We do have envelopes either in the pew or in the back there. So when you leave today, just put in a special festive offering, you know, for this feast of Sukkot, so we can be a blessing. The Lord says, I will bless those who bless my people. And we want to be a blessing. We as a congregation bless Israel in many ways. And we have done that so often through our first fruits ministry. But we want to give a special feast offering, you know, towards many of these women in Israel who are in great need. And so, Father, we pray that as we give an offering this evening, that we would do so with grateful hearts. That we'd be thankful, Father, for how you have blessed us. And, Lord, as we give this evening, that we would do so, Lord, generously, Father. Lord, that everyone would give something. Some can give more, some can give less. Lord, that as long as we all give something. And so we just pray for your blessing upon us. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for in this land that we live. And we just praise you, Father, for your goodness to us. You said, in everything give thanks, for this is your will for us in Messiah Yeshua. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Yeshua's name.